Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I am exhausted.
Oh yeah?
I'm more exhausted than Paul Holmgren today.
Yeah.
And he was pretty busy.
Yeah.
Wheeling and dealing and overpaying for Russian mediocrity. But we'll get to that in a moment, dude. Let's talk about the most important thing, which is me.
Of course, you.
Because you're relaxed. You've been on vacation this week.
I have.
Look at you kicking up in the sand, reading a book about engineering or whatever it is you do to relax.
Scouting.
Scouting?
Yeah.
What, like boy scouting?
No, NHL scouting.
Oh.
Boy scouting.
Well, you know, I just needed to check in with you there.
Yeah.
You were reading a book about NHL scouting?
I was.
How to be a scout or someone reflecting on their career as a scout?
No, it was kind of an interesting book. I'll put it on the blog, but it was a guy who wrote a book about what scouts look for in players. And one of the people that he talked to quite a bit, sort of one of his chief sources for the book, was Tim Burke, who was the director of scouting for the San Jose Sharks. So pretty interesting. I don't know if I want to go into a whole review here. Maybe I will later, but there were some interesting things about the book. Maybe not as many mentions of actual NHL players as many as I would like. Maybe scouts don't want to give away what they thought or didn't think, but there are certain mentions of, you know, this player is an example of great vision, or this player is an example of someone who needed to improve in this or that area, whatever. But yeah, it sort of goes over what scouts are looking for, which is obviously a huge deal this week because the NHL draft is tomorrow, and all of that, know-how and knowledge and experience of those scouts weighs very heavily on which direction teams go in terms of drafting the next players. And we've talked about it so many times in the podcast. Now with the salary cap, it's very important for teams not only to draft good players, but to draft good players that play quickly. It used to be you could leave a guy in the minors 3, 4, 5 years, and you can't draft a first-round draft pick now and really leave him around for a while anymore. It seems like you need him to produce when he's making that entry-level salary. You need a lot of production when he's making $1 million a year instead of $6 million a year. And, the Sharks had one in Logan Couture, who unfortunately didn't win the Calder Trophy. So is that a good or a bad thing for the Sharks? I know we've talked about this particular issue before in the past. What
do you think? Perhaps salary projection, it might be a good thing. I guess if you're Doug Wilson, you probably are disappointed for your player, but maybe happy for your budget, because that's a signing that's going to be coming up in the next year or two. I mean, they still have his rights, you know, can continue to qualify him and then sign him in his last year of restricted free agency, as they did with Devin Setoguchi today. I'm tired because I've been moving, dude.
Yeah.
And I've moved.
You and some other players, dude.
I know. I use the same moving company as Scott Nicol and Jamal Mares, actually. Funny enough, the guys told me that. And they actually mentioned that to me on the phone when I booked the moving company last week. Oh, we're moving. Those guys leave. I was like, I guess someone's going out of town.
Right.
And it was funny that when I was talking to the guys, oh, that's cool that you were moving those guys, because they were the ones who actually did it. They actually moved the lady out of the Mark Zuckerberg mansion too.
No way.
Yeah. So these guys had some funny stories. He goes, hey, you know, how were they? He goes, oh, Scott Nicol was cool.
Went, you're like crickets.
I was like, well, what about Jamal Mares? He's all, It's like, oh.
Not a good
fairness, maybe those guys weren't there. You know, right. What I mean?
Yeah,
know,
we don't know.
We don't know that they were there or not. And I think if you'd shown a picture of either of these two players to the movers, I don't think they would have known.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't seem like grand hockey fans. They're not going to be sitting around their televisions watching the draft tomorrow.
Like we are.
Delicious. Anyways, dude, let's get started.
Yeah.
There's a lot happened today. I think we went from last night going, there's not a lot to talk about to, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
like the bomb that went off in Philadelphia.
Right.
And some news this week while you're on vacation where, you know, several Sharks players from last year have been told that they're not coming back.
Right. And Nikola Mayers, we talked about that. But one player that, although I saw a tweet from Pollock earlier today, it's, quote, not over yet with this player, but it seemed like intentions were are now known with Ian White. And it seems like Ian White is not going to be back. And Doug Wilson said that with Jason Demers and Justin Braun in the system, both right-handed shots, both offensively minded defensemen, that the Sharks don't need an Ian White when you have a Jason Demers and a Justin Braun. So I know that was pretty surprising to both of us. We wanted White back. We thought White might be the right guy to fit into this system. I mean, how surprised are you by this news, dude?
Well, I guess I'm not shocked because I think we talked a little bit about this a week or two ago that, you know, Justin Braun, if they feel like he's ready, first of all, if they feel like he's ready, why didn't he play over Kent Huskins in the Vancouver series?
Right.
Thank you very much.
Right.
But if they feel like he's ready and you've got Demers and you want to keep both these guys, then, you know, then you've got four guys running around, right-handed shots, offensively minded defensemen. Maybe that's not the right fit.
Right.
But Ian White sure did seem like such a great fit with this team, and he played the style perfectly, produced extremely well in the playoffs. It makes me sad to see that they're sort of calling it over with Ian White already. But I think we've seen that, you know, with some teams making some pretty sweeping changes, and one of those teams in the news is the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Right.
You know, that's a team that you look at their defensive core, they might give Ian White $4 million.
Right.
Mm-hmm. History of overpayment there anyways. I mean, they gave that huge cash to Mike Commodore. That didn't work out so good.
Oops.
Oops. Hello, strawberry shortcake.
Make it rain with the ones in the hotel room or whatever that picture is.
So, you know, Ian White could be looking for a big payday here, and instead of taking a discount to stay with the Sharks, he's moving on, dude. I think he's moving on.
I think that's looking pretty likely. And now we have a non-player moving on. Trent Yanni looks like he's going to be interested in taking an AHL head coaching job because he wants to get back behind the bench and be the main man for an NHL franchise. And at least it's his opinion. And I think Tom McClellan agreed, or Doug Wilson agreed, the path to the NHL coaching gig these days seems to be from the NHL, or from the AHL rather, not from an NHL assistant. So we've seen several guys, Peter DeBoer and Guy Boucher and lots of guys, and Dan Bylsma, come up from the AHL ranks directly into a head coaching job and not from being an assistant. So it looks like Yanni's going to find a greener pasture, maybe, you know, riding in the bus in the minor leagues for a couple years and see if he can get another shot. Some people might remember he did coach the Chicago Blackhawks for a couple years, or 800 games or something, like a year and a bit. But that was during when they were just god awful and they hadn't got all their early draft picks back and, you know, were ready to make a run. So that was sort of the low point of the franchise. So obviously he wants to roll the dice, take his chances again, and see if he can end up with a big job. So good luck to him.
Yeah, good luck. And one thing they brought up is, you know, he was in charge of the penalty kill, and penalty kill was awful this
year. Yes.
So this might have been
a little bit of both.
A nice way of letting him move on instead of canning him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to let you resign so that you can go out. And I'm sure it'd be surprising if he didn't get an AHL coaching job, don't you think?
I think, yeah.
I mean, he's got a lot of experience, but you know, the Sharks PK has to improve, and whoever is going to step in, I mean, there was some implications that maybe it's going to be Jay Woodcroft that's going to be promoted from the video guy to the full-blown assistant coach.
Well, I think he's actually an assistant coach, but there's three assistant coaches now, so, you know, with down to two assistant coaches, that'll look more like a promotion. I don't know exactly how the ranks go, but
I don't care how they work it out, just as long as the PK is better.
Right.
Because
24th in the league.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible last year, dude. So Nickel and Mares gone for sure. We know they've literally moved out of the state.
Yeah.
Ian White is hanging on by a thread.
Not likely to be back.
You never know what happens. I mean, if he doesn't find the market that he's looking for out there, because you figure there's going to be some big chips to drop. Erhoff.
Right.
Bieksa looks like he's staying in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Pikkanen, that's a big chip.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start Cabrera, I guess. Markov's already signed. Then you start moving into the Jovanovski in White category.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will a team like Columbus pounce on them fast?
Detroit. We talked about that.
You know, that could be a player that works out real nicely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the Red Wings. I don't know if he's going to be able to play the kind of Rafalski minutes, but
no.
I don't know. We're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit here, I suppose. Dude, shall we move on to Devin Setoguchi re-signing today?
Yeah, so that's the big news of the day. Lots of NHL news today, but of course we have to start with the Sharks news. 3 years, $9 million for Devin Setoguchi. I think that was a little above what we had projected. What did we project, dude?
Well, I think we were thinking they were going to kind of qualify him one last time, since they had the right to do that in terms of what we understood. And that he would get about 2.2, mm-hmm. you know, 2.5.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's...
We're talking a little above what we initially had thought. And Doug Wilson's not a big long-term guy. He goes for 3 and 4 year deals. So that's certainly makes sense for Devin Setoguchi. What's your reaction to this signing, dude?
Honestly, I'm a little disappointed.
Right.
I mean, and I hate to say that because it's not that I don't like Devin Setoguchi. I just feel like he's been on a downslide. Like he had a great year 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been 2008, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great year, 30 plus goals, right?
Right.
And now he's followed it up with a couple of, you know, 40 point years. And I'm just thinking, you know, that gets you a reward.
Right.
You get rewarded for that. Like,
he had 15 goals the second half of the year.
And he had, I think, 10 in the playoffs or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm making stuff up. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But, I mean, don't you feel like Seto is one of those guys who you love him in stretches and you find him completely frustrating stretches?
Yeah.
Like he just disappears.
Right. And he said the right things. I think the first thing he said, he's going to try to be more consistent this year, which I think everybody recognizes. I'm with you. I like Devin Setoguchi. I like having him on the Sharks. It's not that I don't like his skill set. It's not like I don't like him as a player. I wrote a big long post, maybe too long, this week about one of the points of that post is that the Sharks are really overloaded on forwards in terms of their salary mix. And there's only two teams that were paying more for forwards last year than the San Jose Sharks, the Capitals and the Kings. And the Kings only by a little bit. And this is increasing the Sharks' salary hit on the forward positions. And so if you look at the Sharks, their top six forwards are all making $3 million and above. And I couldn't find too many other teams with that kind of mix. I think Calgary, but four of their players are making under $4 million, and you can't say that about the Sharks. The Sharks are paying a lot for their forwards, and now they have a $4 million third line center.
Right.
And Joe Pavelski.
That's the problem here, is they have, by salary definition and also by talent, they have seven forwards competing for six spots, and you've got one guy playing out of position.
Right.
You know, and it's even worse when it ends up being Danny Heatley down there on the third line in the, you know, no thank you slot, yeah. I suppose.
I forgot about Logan Couture, so maybe I'm a little off there. Logan Couture's only making $1.2 million.
But that's for now.
Right.
I mean, he's going to get a raise.
He'll get $3 million next year.
You'd think.
Yeah, at least.
You know, you'd think if he's able to follow it up with another really good year. I was looking at some of the comparables, you know, guys who are in the same point range as Seto. You know, there's this is not great company, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Ryder, who the guy was on a Stanley Cup winning team,
right.
and he was effective, but that's a role-playing guy. He's not a...
Yeah, he's not a top two. You see him on the power play every game.
Michael Ryder's an unrestricted free agent. He was grossly overpaid last time around. Is he going to get $3 million, dude?
I find that difficult to believe.
I would believe that too, although he is, I think, at least 5 or 6 years older than Setoguchi.
And Setoguchi, I know that people are going to say, well, the idea is that he's going to continue to improve. With Michael Ryder, you sort of know what you're going to get. With Setoguchi, you're hoping he can get back to that 30-goal plateau or above. And 30 goals for $3 million is a pretty nice price point.
Who would you rather have, Setoguchi or JVR?
That's a tough call. That's a tough call. JVR had a monster.
JVR had less points than Seto last year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a guy who, you know, now the Flyers, who we'll get to soon, you know, did a monster overhaul on their roster. You can't take a bigger sledgehammer than that.
No.
And JVR is in the same kind of category as Seto. You know, that he's I believe, restricted, or he's playing on the final year of his entry-level deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's he going to get? Three? You know, did he, Seto just set the market for that? David Booth is a guy who 2 years ago had a year like Seto.
Mm-hmm.
60 points, 31 goals. Florida gave him $4.25 million a year. And now he's putting out 40 points.
Yeah.
That's an awful contract.
Yes, it is.
So I guess the guy I'm curious to see is if Blake Wheeler gets $3 million,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to feel a little bit better.
Okay.
If Blake Wheeler gets less, I'm not going to feel so good about it.
Right.
Because those guys, Seto and Wheeler, are very, very comparable in their numbers. And they're both, they were both restricted free agents.
Yeah.
So.
I'm worried a little bit about the timing again. We talked about the timing when it comes to Niemi's extension.
Which, by the way, now that's looking genius.
Are you
Don't
sure?
you think?
No, not really. Really?
Okay. Based on what Brizgalov got?
Well, that's just craziness. That's crazy talk.
But now, if Niemi had gotten to that point, I mean, Niemi's value based on that, if Niemi had made it to July 1, like, Niemi gets an extra million at least out of that lunacy.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I almost want to view it as a one-off. It's just like, it's Paul Holmgren going nuts and saying, trade everybody we have, all we need is a goaltender. Which is almost what he did. And I think Brizgalov wouldn't get $7 million from any other team in the NHL.
Oh, probably not.
Yeah. I don't understand.
The guy hasn't even been good the last 2 years in the playoffs.
Right.
He hasn't won a playoff series.
Right.
In the last two years.
We're getting way.
I'm sorry. Well, I mean, I think
what were we talking about again?
Well, we were talking about setting market value too soon.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's worked out well for Doug Wilson in some cases.
Yeah. And not in others.
And not in others. And this one, I'm a little concerned about it.
It's a risk, right? So this is definitely a risk. This is a betting that the stock is going to go up situation. This is buying Goldman at $120, which sounds like too much money, and then you're expecting it to go to $200 because, you know, they're gonna, you know, put Jefferson County, Mississippi into foreclosure or something.
Is anyone still listening?
No. Luckily, that was only one sentence. But if anybody got that reference, send me an email because I should send you a prize for getting that. The point is that he's betting on what he wants Seto to be after next year and not what Seto is now. And that's a risky move, right? If Seto just busts out and scores 35 goals, and Doug Wilson's going to look like a genius.
Genius.
If Seto scores 40 points again, then there's a contract that's going to be really difficult to unload.
So last year, weren't we talking about how closed contract
is
garbage?
That was going to be my
next thing. And now it looks brilliant.
Yeah.
So let's hope that this is going to be the situation. But it kind of segues into one of the topics of the offseason is, now you've got seven guys for six spots.
Right.
Does the signing of Setoguchi bode poorly for really the only one who could be moved logically, which is Joe Pavelski? Is this not good for Joe Pavelski, or is this just Doug Wilson solidifying a core that he already believes in wholeheartedly?
I'm going to go with B.
Uh-huh.
Because if you had to choose between Joe Pavelski at $4 million and Jevan Setoguchi today at $3 million, which would you choose?
I choose Joe Pavelski.
So would I. So this could be a sign and trade for all we know, right?
Nope.
I mean, you know, from a logical perspective,
possibly.
Right.
You know,
I'm not saying either one is likely to happen. I mean, we've banged around the idea the last couple podcasts here.
I'm just saying there are some spots to be had here. There are two veteran guys who are gone. You know, they mentioned Andrew Desjardins specifically as being the guy who basically took Scott Nichols' job.
Right.
Jamie McGinn is going to be back. I mean, you got to figure he's back.
You're
right?
Rolling your eyes already.
Well, I'm rolling my eyes because I feel like that's the guy who, whenever there's like, you know, he's like the really stupid kid in class, and when something goes wrong, everybody just points at him.
Hey, right.
You know, and then the teacher gets mad at him and sends him outside.
Right.
Like, that's basically how McClellan handled Jamie McGinn this year.
Yeah.
Except for being sent outside was being sent to a suburb of Boston.
Right.
You know, and to languish. So, I don't know, dude. I don't know. I guess I can't say I'm surprised that they extended Devin Setoguchi because we know how much Doug Wilson values his core.
Mm-hmm.
But he also has cut ties with guys like Ehrhoff,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, he picked Ehrhoff over Vlasic. I mean, looking back on that decision, is that the right choice still?
No, I don't know.
Ehrhoff, I mean, has been very good the last 2 years in Vancouver. But
you get a different player with
Ehrhoff. It's a totally different player.
It's a different player. You're getting a much more offensively gifted player, a guy who now apparently can hit the net and plays on the power play and chips in points. And that's not Vlasic. As much as we want Vlasic to be that guy, he's not that guy.
Right.
He's a guy that faces the toughest competition every single night and plays well. And clearly, at the moment, Doug Wilson wanted that over a slightly, error-prone offensive defenseman. So,
kudos to Devin Setoguchi. You were ranked 135th in the league last year in scoring, and you got an extension. Good job.
Hopefully, that means you're going to be moving up.
Only in San Jose. Well,
that's not true.
It happens all around the league. So we'd be curious to hear from listeners in terms of what you think. Obviously, our opinion is a little mixed.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with us not liking the player, but I just think the timing of it is odd, dude.
I'm particularly worried about this mix because I know a lot of us in other blogs that we read and other fans that we've talked to and gotten emails from are very focused on improving defense. And when you start signing guys for $3 million a year, that's money that you can't pay a defenseman with. And
right.
So right now, the one name that's been noticeably absent from the news is Ken Huskins. And, you know, we like to poke a little fun at him and stuff. But you know what I'm starting to think? I'm starting to think he's going to be back.
And you know what? I don't necessarily think you're wrong. I hope it's not that he's back to play every night. I mean, because if that's the case, then I don't know. Hide your gun. That's going to make me really sad. You know, the things... name I saw on ESPN today in a blog talking about how teams can improve themselves. There was a huge picture of Yanni Pikkanen and the Sharks name below it.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like, Snickers and candy and rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
But we know, dude, we know, and the listeners, you know too, that the Sharks track record on July 1st is nil.
Mm-hmm.
And are they really going to be able to land their improvement via free agency, dude?
I still don't see that happening.
They're going to have the money. I've played with the numbers, even with Seto re-signing. They can spend $4.5 million to $5 million on a defenseman and have Desjardins, have McGinn, and even sign another guy like a Mayers-ish type guy, and mm-hmm. even Ben Eager. They can mm-hmm. have all those guys. You could throw another $5 million player in there. You'd be totally capped out, but we know the Sharks love that. So, but the odds of that happening
don't seem great.
No.
But, I mean, if there's going to be a bidding war for a player, when has Doug Wilson, for just money's sake, you know, unrestricted free agent's sake, just throwing money at a player, how many times has Doug Wilson gone out and got a premier chip by throwing more money at him than anybody else?
Zero.
It's never happened.
It's not happened. And that, but it also, and I feel like a broken record, I don't think that's for lack of trying.
Right.
You know, I think that he's in the mix, by all reports, in the mix for Ham Hughes, Niedermeyer both times,
mm-hmm.
and guys choose to play somewhere else. So will he try and bid on Wisniewski or Pitkinen? I mean, the thing that was telling in the press conference, dude, is he specifically said he wants a left-handed shot.
Mm-hmm.
Of the free agent defensemen, the guys that I think we'd be interested in having on the team, Yanni Pitkinen's the only one who fits that description, dude.
Hmm. Yeah.
So
he looks like the guy.
So, yeah, he looks like the guy that will be disappointed that we don't have.
Exactly.
I mean, logically, he's a brilliant fit for Detroit.
Yes.
He is. And right. If you're going to have to choose between playing in Detroit and San Jose, we know the culture of the NHL. They will pick Detroit.
That's right.
They will pick Detroit. So we'll see what happens. Oh, boy, we're such a downer.
I know. But
let's talk about the sledgehammer that was taken to the Philadelphia Flyers.
Because this will tie in maybe in a minute to our defensive discussion. Because the Flyers decided to trade their two best players, as far as I'm concerned. Okay. They're two best forwards. Okay.
Claude Giroux? Better than Claude Giroux?
Yes.
Oh.
Both these guys are better than Claude Giroux.
Okay. Claude Giroux.
Their captain. They traded their captain, Mike Richards.
They traded their captain, Mike
Richards. Mike Richards to the LA Kings. So, not good for us. We get to see Mike Richards six times a year.
It's a tough two-way player.
I mean, plays the penalty kill. You know.
It's a great pickup for the Kings. It really is.
They gave back their best prospect, Braden Schenn.
Yeah.
The brother of Luke Schenn, who is the defensive prospect in Toronto, who's going to be supposedly a blue chip forward, and Wayne Simmonds, and a pick, I think, and a second round pick, I think.
It was a third.
A third round. Okay. Yeah. So the Flyers.
No, I'm sorry, dude. I don't think did they give a pick?
I thought they did.
I thought it was just the two players, but I'm not positive, dude. Okay. Sorry.
And then even before that, they traded Jeff Carter to the Columbus Blue Jackets, which is a deal that has been rumored here most of this week, because the Flyers Columbus was looking to deal. They have the number 8 overall pick tomorrow. Looks like that was in play. They were interested in getting a guy that could actually contribute some offense, which would be nice for once. So they get Jeff Carter and his, 18-year deal or whatever that is. So he gets to be reunited with his boy RJ Umberger, also an ex-Flyer. So now they might actually have a decent, scary top line. Rick Nash, Carter, and RJ Umberger on the top line. That's a pretty good scoring line.
I love this deal for Columbus.
I think it too.
Columbus has finally made the big splash and given Rick Nash the partner that he needs, and he deserves. I mean, mm-hmm. he's a great player, and this will be a telling year for Columbus. I mean, if they're not able to get something going that's interesting.
They need to make the playoffs this year now.
God, and they have, a big gaping hole on defense. I mean, they're going to attempt to be very active on July 1st. And that's a team that you could see them overpaying for a guy like Ian White.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time they had a power play quarterback like that?
Right.
I mean, Ian White could go from playing 16 minutes to playing 23 minutes for Columbus.
Right. Could happen.
So that's not out of the realm of possibility if he likes to be cold.
I don't mind that deal for the Flyers, to be honest. I think the Flyers wanted to sign Brzgalov, which we'll get to in a minute, and they needed to clear cap space, and Carter signed until the end of time, and that to me was the right choice of player to get rid of in order to clear that room, and they got the number 8 overall pick and Jacob Voracek, who I think is going to be a good player.
So they get Voracek, Brzgalov, the number 8, and a third round pick for Jeff Carter. That's a good deal for them too, dude.
I think it's a good deal. But then I think they sort of jinxed it by trading Richards for not a whole lot, in my opinion.
Yeah, that deal is strange, and I turned on NHL Live as soon as I heard about it, and they had on Pierre Maguire,
mm-hmm. who loves Mike Richards.
And
oh,
he was being
so in the tank for Mike Richards. It's ridiculous.
He said he was being kind of vague and implied as much that there are or were serious locker room problems in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that team needed a change of culture and personality. So, you know, dude, we've heard some crazy stories about the Flyers. I mean, there was the one about, I can't remember, you know, one player sleeping with another player's wife. Or, I mean, and I can't remember which players are involved in that. And then there's never been any, you know, I think factual proof of
Scott
that.
Scott Hartnell.
So, but, you know, if there's some problems there, you know, this is their way of reacting. And maybe Richards quietly said, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah. Weren't there some questions about leadership from Chris Pronger this year? Could Chris Pronger have run Mike Richards out of town?
Possibly. I mean, that guy is, I mean,
who's got more juice in the league than Chris Pronger? Not too many guys. Yeah. Not too many guys. Yeah. Even though he's sort of near the end of his career, he's still making a lot of money and he's still their best defenseman.
Should take the name off the back of his jersey and put D-bag.
I'd still take him in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat, I'd take him.
So, now let's talk about Brizgalev.
Yeah.
Okay. Brizgalev, a guy who, let's not forget, 3 years ago was on waivers.
Right.
All right. And now he is one of the highest paid, or if not the highest paid goalie in the NHL. Is he not?
I think Luongo's making more.
Well, it's close. He's top five.
Yeah. He's top five.
Does he deserve... Is he a top five goalie in the NHL? Can you name five other guys you'd rather have? Okay. Luongo, Tim Thomas, Ryan Miller.
Pecorine.
Pecorine, a non-vertigo stricken Jonas Hiller.
Well, that's a big if.
He has no vertigo.
Are you sure?
I'm saying no vertigo.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
That's five.
Martin Brodeur. Well...
Okay.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yes, proven winner.
Carey Price?
Yes.
Okay.
Also, I guess you can't say proven track record.
No.
That's tough. Price and Brizgalev, now you're getting into the same, I'd say the second tier, right? I mean, Brizgalev's been nominated for the Vezina, am I right? Wasn't he?
Maybe once, yeah, I
now
think so.
I'm just making things up.
I mean, to me, it's like, Brizgalov's good. Jonathan Quick's had some awesome times. You know, Craig Anderson's had some awesome times. You know, I'd have to look at their stats all in a row, but I mean, both of those guys at least did some interesting things in the playoffs, at least to me. So I think you're right. I think he's sort of in that second tier. You can't put him with Rene and Thomas and Luongo. You can't put him in that same class. Kiprusoff? Would you rather have Kiprusoff?
Have a guy who can pull himself in the middle of the game.
I'd rather have Nicholas Backstrom from the Wild.
Yeah. I'm looking. I'm making.
Would you rather have Yaroslav Halak from the Blues? I think I might rather have Halak.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so too. I think this is a total overreaction by Paul Holmgren. He sees Tim Thomas raising the cup. He decides he's got to have a elite goalie. And he goes out and completely blows his mind and goes for Brizgalev. So if he really traded those two guys only because he wanted to get Brizgalev, he's mental, in my opinion. That team made it to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right, right.
And I know last year that they had a lousy series.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but they got worked, let's be honest. They got absolutely worked.
Okay. So can't you... I mean, I can think of a goalie who is not half bad, named Evgeny Nabokov, who's signed to like the cheapest deal known to man.
Right.
Who's going to be peddled by the Islanders.
Also a Vezina candidate once.
You can't... I'm looking. I don't think Brizgalev was.
Okay.
I'm looking, dude. I'm starting to... I'm backtracking on that.
Okay.
I'm backtracking, dude.
Okay. Flip-flopping.
So... Ugh, dude, I'm not super keen on this for the Flyers, but this segues into my question for you. You know, I'm looking, you know, at their team right now. They just traded two huge high profile guys. They might not be done. They've got three defensemen who are left-handed shots there.
Yeah.
Making a lot of money.
Right.
Andrei Mazarov. They've got
Mazaros.
Yeah. You're right.
Sorry.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah, I know.
No, you want to correct me.
Maybe.
You enjoy it.
It's just a reflex.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I'll wait to correct you later.
I'm sure you will.
Andrei Mazaros,
yes.
Dude.
Thank you.
I know your boy, Braden Coburn.
Yes.
And, wait for it, the return of Matt Carl. You didn't give away that jersey, did you?
I still have it.
Can you imagine? He comes full circle and Matt Carl, the return of the favorite son.
Oh my God. He comes back.
You may as well bring back Ty Wishart.
Yes.
Dude, do you think there's any shot that Doug Wilson might attempt to, and maybe less likely now that they've dumped two huge salary players?
Right.
I was kind of looking at the Flyers as a team that he might try and pick their pocket a little bit.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you? Of course, I think there's a chance. Absolutely. I think you got to put those guys in play. If you're Doug Wilson, you got to make a play for one of those guys. Of course. Why not?
Who would you...
You say, hey, you know, do you need a defensive forward? We have Joe Pavelski. You know?
Yeah.
You need a good centerman.
They need Joe Pavelski.
Right.
I mean, they do. You know, so my question for you is Coburn for Pavelski acceptable to you?
See, I was looking at Coburn's numbers, and as much as I like Braden Coburn, as much as I would love to see him in teal, I have to look at his numbers and look at his production, and that is not a fair trade for the Sharks. It is not a fair trade. As much as I would like to see him in teal, I got to be honest, not a fair trade for the Sharks. The guy only had 15, 20 points. It's not enough. He's not enough of a player for a guy that's going to... You don't trade 65 or 70 points for 15 points.
Right.
You just can't.
Right.
You can't do it unless you're getting an absolute number one best defensive defenseman in the NHL quality player.
So this is something for us to keep an eye on in the next week and see what else happens, dude. You know, the Sharks are going to go into July 1st, the draft day,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Giddiness. Sharks are picking 28th?
Something like that, yeah.
Dude, any thoughts on draft day tomorrow? We always wait and anticipate and watch it like fools.
And then we get disappointed. I see no reason why that trend will not continue. I think a lot of stuff happened today. One of the reasons why I like watching draft day coverage is there always are trades, which is fun to be... You're watching live to see what happens and to see how that affects things. You see some players definitely move around, big players move around on draft day. And it's always fun to see that. The Sharks almost always make some sort of crazy draft day trade that is hard to understand.
Later, like on Saturday.
Like they'll trade their fourth round pick for like a fifth round pick and a fourth round pick next year. And you're like, okay. You know, it's one of those situations. For that, yeah, I'll watch it. I'm sure the Sharks are again going to draft a player that, let's be honest, I've never heard of. You know, I try to follow the top prospects a little bit and try to understand like who's going where. You know, maybe the top 10 or 15 guys I've probably heard of. But once you start getting the late 20s, it becomes a crapshoot as far as I'm concerned when it comes to draft picks. So, but of course, we're still going to watch.
Of course, dude, I'm calling my shot.
Okay.
Sharks at number 28 are going to draft Shane Prince of the Ottawa 67s.
Yeah.
Just because Doug Wilson loves the Ottawa 67s.
Yeah.
That's where he found Jamie McGinn. That's where he found Logan Couture.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he played for the Ottawa 67s
when he
was in juniors.
Yep.
This kid, that would be a bit of a reach for Prince. I mean, the thing with him is he's a little undersized, 5'10", 175,
mm-hmm.
but he can score. He can just flat out score. So, you know, 88 points last year in 59 games.
Wow.
He got hurt. So this kid can play. That's just a total flat out guess based on nothing other than the fact that Doug Wilson loves the Ottawa 67s. He's also American. We know Doug Wilson likes that. It wouldn't be shocking to see him take a guy who would be going into college.
You know, right.
Doug Wilson does love that also to give these guys a little more time to marinate. Who do we got here on this mock draft?
And so this is the Hockey News mock draft. They have San Jose at number 28 taking Tomas Yurko, a Slovakian import.
What?
Yeah, exactly. You know, again, I don't know any of these guys. I'm sorry. But Tomas Yurko is a constant threat on the Niagara Sea Dogs, which is a playoff team and Canadian juniors. So that's what... That's what the Hockey News is projecting. The Hockey News is also projecting Adam Larsson, the Swedish defenseman, to go number one in the draft. I definitely agree with that. I think the Oilers are going to go D here with the number one pick.
And they should.
And Larsson is far and away the best defenseman on the board.
ESPN's mock draft, just to close it out, dude, has the Sharks taking Oshawa center Boone Jenner. Boone Jenner.
Dude.
Gotta love that name.
I was just going to say, I'd draft that guy just for his name. Boone Jenner. He should be an MMA with a name like that. That's like Jenner. Max power.
Yeah. So, dude, we'll wait and see. Hopefully, we'll have some more news to talk about next week at this time, dude. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Coming over to watch the draft.
I'll see you tomorrow for
my
the draft.
New TV.
Yes, dude.
I'm stoked to have you as my guest.
It's going to be sweet, and there's going to be boxes everywhere, and I will be happy to help you unpack, dude.
But the key thing is you know what's in the fridge? Beer.
Nice. That's all you need. You know, TV, a beer, and the NHL draft.
You can't ask for much more than that.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, everybody.
All right, bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.